Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thank God. Science is back, baby.
The Spindrofsky Show, Benny J. Bonus Interview, is brought to you in part by the Chicago Reader and the Chicago Federation of Labor. Benny J., take it away.
Bonus time on the Ben Jarofsky Show. As I speak, it's Friday, November 20th, 2020. The headlines in the paper, plea to Americans, stay home on Thanksgiving. This is a headline in the New York Times. Just if you're wondering, you're listening to this 10 years from now, Ben, well, it's the headline in the New York Times. Well, I just told you, plea to Americans, stay home on Thanksgiving, with the subhead, CDC's warning runs counter to messaging from White House. No, because there's freaking morons in the White House who are having assemblages without masks. They're telling Americans, don't get together for Thanksgiving, but meanwhile, we're going to get together and cough on each other and stuff like that. Anyway, that's the headline in the paper. That's my thoughts about the headline.
Face coverings.
All distinguished guests. I asked my distinguished guest to introduce him or herself. So, distinguished guest, introduce yourself.
Hey, this is actor and comedian and radio host Scott Duff.
Yes, that's Scott
that's
Duff.
That's easy. Just nice and simple.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else, but then there was that awkward pause. Like, he didn't go anywhere else.
Well, I mean, I could just keep going on. Capricorn, a terrific dancer, amateur chef.
Yes.
All
that's
that
the part
stuff.
Of it.
Professional gay. Show.
All of those things.
That and more.
I originally thought it'd be a great idea to have you come on because I wanted you to talk about that the chef part of your life. But I got a funny feeling we're not even going to get to that. I thought, oh, no. I said to Dennis, this is a great idea, Dennis. I'll bring Scott Duff on, and he'll give out recipes and stuff for Thanksgiving. But I got a feeling we're never going to go there because you said something before we went on air that I want you to go into a little in greater detail. PTSD about this administration. Talk about that.
Yeah. So like half of the country, when they finally announced that Biden won, and, you know, it was I remember where I was sitting. I was sitting right here at this desk, and it was 10 o'clock and 10:30 in the morning. And they're like, they just are announcing that Biden is a projected winner. And I just sat here for a half an hour. I literally just sat and what's happening? And then I just started to cry. And part of it was tears of joy, but part of it was just this huge emotional release that fat man in the White House is going to go away. And then I just kind of moved throughout my day. I, you know, donned a mask and I stood on a side street in Andersonville where everybody was just going bananas. You know, there was a big celebration and it was awesome to kind of be there and be a part of it. But I kept thinking throughout that entire week, where are we? Where are we now as a country? When you have one half of the population is convinced that the other half is evil, you know, not just bad, but evil. And that goes for both ways. I mean, it's the left thinks that the right is evil and the right thinks that the left is evil. And how do we move forward right now as a country? Because we're just so broken. And I feel like I'm not alone in that. I feel like we are all kind of dealing with this, with the cumulative effect of 4 years of just anger and divisiveness and hearing racist rhetoric and sexist and misogynist and homophobic. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. And I'm just kind of I'm really trying to just figure out how to move forward. you know, because even now, like, it's a total poop parade what's going on with the transition or lack thereof. So that's kind of where my head is these days, which is kind of a annoying place to be.
Well, I should say this, Scott Duff and I have been doing conversations together for a long, long time. We started them back at WCPT where he has a show, where I used to have a show. We're not talking about that, but anyway, I used to have a show there. We had conversations, and over the course of the conversations, I learned that you come from MAGA country, basically, that you have not always lived in the city of Chicago, on the liberal north side of Chicago in Andersonville. And so you probably have more experience than I do, Scott, at dealing with what I always call MAGA America.
My brother. Brother, 100%.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Any advice? I mean, you had this breakdown and, you know, do you have any advice to how to
I really don't know. You can tune into Out Chicago. Well, this is dropping on Sunday, so you can go tune into Out Chicago, though, and you can find a podcast of it, because I'm actually, we've got a therapist coming on to talk to us about, like, what are some strategies of, like, dealing with this? Because I really feel that, like, the lasting effects of Trumpism, we don't even know that. It's kind of like, you know, when people have recovered from COVID, like, we don't know what the lasting effects are going to be with people, you know, who've been ill. It's kind of like how I feel right now with this country, with Trumpism. We don't quite know how we're going to fare moving forward. So I don't know. You can, like I said, tune into Out Chicago and you can find out from this nice lady who's going to tell me, give me all the answers.
Well, so do you engage Trumpers these days?
No. Like, I mean, this summer, like, my brother's weird, man. You know, like, he's weird. You would never think, like, all three of my mother's children are so different from one another. You know, you've got, like, my sister, who's an Episcopal priest. You've got me, who's the professional gay. And then you've got my brother, who is a former Marine, cowboy, country music loving, bus mechanic in Vegas. You know, it's like, it's very weird. So we kind of, I know it's bizarre, right? So we kind of engaged over the summer. We were talking and I'm like, it was just, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. So, and we didn't really have, like, he's about 12 years older than I am, so we have a weird relationship to begin with, but it just got even more strained. And it's, yeah.
Well, do you ever find yourself having a conversation with your MAGA brother thinking, you know, he's starting to make a lot of sense to me?
Nope. Nope. Because, you know, I asked him, I'm like, hey, where do you get your news? Just, like, you know, just curious. Yeah. Like, what are your news sources? And I'll ask you, Ben, where do you think he gets his news? There are two sources.
I would guess that one is Fox and the other is Breitbart.
Well, Breitbart and YouTube. Even better. And I'm like, dude, I mean, he would be sending me stuff throughout the summer. And I'm like, that was just straight up propaganda. I mean, like, there would be a Russian lady in there with a giant Russian accent saying these Russian things. And he's like, she's got a point. I'm like, are you high? This is straight up propaganda. Like, I don't even know how to tackle this, you know? So I've kind of taken a step back and, you know, we talked a little bit about this. You know, I saw that documentary on Netflix, the Social Dilemma, and that freaked me out. You know, just in terms of, like, how social media is being used, and even people who, like, the guy who was one of the co-creators of the like button on Facebook was like, "Hey, we made this to be, you know, to bring joy, to connect people, but it has become this very mutated, horrible place where an algorithm will feed you your own, it will feed you into this echo chamber and take you down some deep, deep, dark, scary routes." And so, yeah, so that's been hard. And I've stopped in trying engaging the MAGA people, because I'm not going to change their opinion with some post or like a meme. and it's not, it's just not going to fix. So I'm, that's where I'm grappling. Like, how do we try to come together to have these conversations where we can actually move forward as a country, or just move forward as a, like right now, like as a family, in my case, when we can't see each other because of, we're in a pandemic. And the only way that we have to communicate, really, I mean, of course, there is the good old telephone, but, you know, but the only ways that people are communicating is through social media. So I don't know. These are strange times. Strange times, Ben Jarofsky.
No, and it's, I watched Joe Biden give the speech about last Saturday was. I think it was last night. I'm losing track of time. And I watched him again last night, trying to find the words when he was asked about how Donald Trump is just resisting and trying to subvert the election. Trying to subvert the election, Scott Duff, by decertifying the votes from all of Detroit.
Oh.
Just
oh.
think about that. All of Detroit.
Yeah, but then, like, the weird, that weird drippy press conference that Giuliani had with his other little, like, the lady lawyers.
Yeah.
But didn't they also, their the data points that they were using for Michigan were data points from Minnesota?
Yeah, no, it's...
It's boggles the mind.
Yeah, it's a farce. And so here's Joe Biden bending over backwards to do the right thing. I mean, I couldn't do it. Joe Biden is the healer. Joe Biden is the guy who says there's no red states, no blue states, just the United States. Joe Biden's the guy who say, I'm going to look what's good and decent in all of us, and I'm not going to assume that just because you're a Republican, you're bad. He's like, everything that I say, he's going the other way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they still tell him, F you. They still tell him, you stole the election. They still call him a fraud and a phony and and old senile Joe. And it's just, it's like, you're nice to MAGA and MAGA snaps at you.
Well, it's because, again, because we're going down these separate, you know, these niche medias. Everybody gets their news from a very particular source. Very rarely do people look at more. I mean, aside from you, Ben Jarofsky, because, you know, you are a wizened man who used assemblages in your opening remarks. Like, that's a good word. Assemblages. Like, you know, like, if you look at, like, the New York Times and you look at the Post and you look at NPR or, you know, whatever, the Sun Times, you know, you just look all over different things. But most people, A, don't read papers, don't read articles all the way through, or they read articles that are from, like, very, very questionable sources, and they get all of their media. I mean, people are dumping Fox just because they're coming out saying, like, dude, step away, Trump. You're done. Just step away. And now they're all flocking to OAN and what is that, Newsmax or whatever? You know, they're even left social media to go to Parler, like Twitter and Facebook, to go to Parler, where they can have all these crazy, weird conspiracy theories. You know, we've got, was it two QAnon people that were just elected in this last election?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's bananas. It's bananas right now. You brought me on for the fun conversation.
Yeah.
Well, I come in and pee in the pool.
Bring this guy back anytime soon. Let's get those Thanksgiving recipes out real fast.
Thanksgiving recipes. It's really great.
Before we go to Thanksgiving recipes, which I got a funny feeling we're not even going to get to, I need to hear Scott Duff's opinion of this bit with Rudy Giuliani. One of the most bizarre moments I've ever seen in American politics took place this week, yesterday. So if you're listening 10 years from now, that would have been Thursday, November 19th, when Rudy Giuliani, who was acting as Donald Trump's lawyer, held a press conference, which was so freaking bizarre. And again, I just want to remind everybody, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And they're warning people not to gather with their family for Thanksgiving for fear of spreading this disease. So Rudy Giuliani is holding this press conference in the middle of this pandemic. People surrounding him, no one's wearing a mask at all because, I don't know, the official position of the Trump administration is that the pandemic is over, even though it's a huge surge. And this is an analysis of Rudy Giuliani's behavior by some unknown person. I don't know who this was. It was something I found on the internet. And he's just like doing the play-by-play, Scott, of what Giuliani is doing in this press conference. So, Dee, why don't we play for this and get Scott's reaction?
Yo, watch my man's over here. Yo, takes out the handkerchief.
It is true.
Blowing his nose. Takes it booger side in, smears his hands all over it, wipes it into his lips, all over his face. Son, he's wiping snot all over his face, smearing his hands into it. Looks like shit, bro. And he's gonna fucking touch the podium.
Anyway, it's great play-by-play. That guy's got a future in sports journalism. That's great play-by-play.
Oh my God, it reminds me of that moment with Ted Cruz when everybody thought a booger flew out of his mouth and was just hanging on his lip. You remember that?
Yeah, it could happen to the best of us.
Ted Cruz, he like fell out and everybody just kept looking at that thing. It was like, what was that thing? And then he lit it off your mouth. Like, Rudy Giuliani was unhinged and drippy. Like, you literally hair dye dripping down his face. But, you know, at least he was inside, you know, and he wasn't at the Four Seasons lawn and whatever it is, you know.
Yeah. No, but that's a little comic relief. I mean, they're trying to steal election by taking away all of Detroit, decertifying all of Detroit, basically saying wherever black people live, we're not going to allow those votes to count. And hey, we're going to win the election if you do that.
Hey, great idea.
You know, but in the middle of that, Giuliani gives his press conference, and what a performance, blowing his nose and then wiping his face with the same handkerchief.
Mm-hmm. I guess you like the move to like booger side down. That was like the best description.
Really, not ultimately that it would matter that much, but yes, booger side down, wipe the face, get it all in,
and then
shake hands with everyone. And yes, the dripping, my wife's a hairdresser, and she said it was not dye, it was some kind of spray on. And so that when he started sweating, it it caused the spray. So imagine spraying your hair. Well,
I thought he was just leaking Valvoline.
He
clearly is like the Tin Man, you know, like he has no heart. So it's just like, oh, oil can what? You know, like, ugh.
Dripping. So, so knowing MAGA the way you do, Do you think that people found that performance persuasive? Do you think that there's Americans out there who watch Giuliani with his spray on, rolling down his sweaty face, wiping his face with the handkerchief he just blew his nose in, sounding like a complete lunatic? Do you think there are Americans out there going, you know, this is a guy I want to stand with and stand by?
Sure. I don't know how many there are, but there are definitely people who are like, oh no, listen to what this guy has to say. And then you've got the, what's her name? Like, isn't it like Sidney Powell or Cindy Powell?
Yes. He's the lawyer. Yeah.
The lawyer. Well, apparently Giuliani fancies himself a lawyer too, but you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? No, I do. I really do think that there are some people out there who are like, oh, yeah, he's making a really good point. I can't wait to see what's happening with all these things that are going on. And then let's bring up the dead guy from Venezuela, and Soros and the Clintons, because of course that's just like chum the water, because you know we won on, you know, we don't like socialism, and clearly the dead socialist from Venezuela was able to come back from the dead and count votes for Biden. Yeah. Like, there are actually people who believe that crap. But the thing that really freaked me out was, you know, as soon as that thing was over, I'm like, I switched it right over to Fox. I'm like, what is your response? And Karl Rove of all people was just like, Well, that was just some of the craziest thing I think I've ever seen. You know? He's like, wow. All right. He just made some big accusations with zero evidence to prove it. So he needs to prove it or, I don't know, or, you know, go get some nasal spray.
Yeah, you know you've lost it when Karl Rove is questioning
and I'm like feeling, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm totally down with Karl Rove. Like, what is happening? 2020, stop.
Yeah, 2020, stop. The bar is low when Karl Rove is suddenly the voice of reason. The
voice of reason in my head.
But I think what you're actually saying, Scott, and I'm tying together the stuff you said, that when Rudy Giuliani put on that performance yesterday, he was appealing to the segment of the country that's following news on YouTube. That's standard fare. And we really have, I mean, if 48% of the population agrees with that, 48% of the population looks at that performance yesterday and says, yes, you are speaking for me.
Well, you know, maybe not 48%, but I will say, like, that, you know, what is it, that 32% that has always been his base? Like, there are 48% of the population voted for him, but there's that 32% that's the ride or die. Mm. I think they're still in there. So it might not be 48 and it might not be as high as that, but I do think there's a reason, like, his base is, they're still like, okay, whatever you say, dear leader, whatever you say.
All right. Well, that little sign of optimism and hope that it's not 48%, but just 32% will get me through this weekend. Just a third of the country is batshit crazy. Well, feel a lot better now.
Ooh, all right. Yeah.
All right, so one of the things that was getting me through life, and my wife, you have no bigger fan, Scott Duff, and then my dear wife, loved your cooking shows that you dropped on Facebook. You would, Scott in the Kitchen, and as I recall, this began because you hurt yourself or something. My memory is fuzzy here. All the marijuana I smoked in the 70s is catching up to me. Okay. So
that's okay. I'm still smoking all the marijuana for you right now. So.
Okay. someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
So talk about your just hilarious cooking show, and you went on a furlough, and I speak for all of Chicago when I urge you to bring it back. Even MAGA Chicago wants you to bring it back.
I'm sure. Yeah, no, so I started doing this thing called Scott Duff Cooking Stuff, and it was basically, it was in the dead of winter. It was before the pandemic was unleashed upon us, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going crazy. It's dark. It's cold, so I'll make some cooking videos, because that'll be fun. It's something that I love to do. I used to be a food blogger, and I actually was pretty close to getting onto the Food Network Star reality show a couple years ago. So I was like, you know what? This is something I like. It's going to help pass the time, pass the days, and it's dark and get me through the winter, and I'll have a good time. And then when things really hit was when the pandemic came to Chicago, and Lori Lightfoot was like, you know what? Everybody needs to stay at home. So I just got my new Bon Appetit magazine, and they had this recipe for making focaccia bread. So I made a video called Stay the Focaccia Home, and that launched it. So, yeah, so I'm probably going to be getting back into it, but I've had like a weird time. You know, I lost my mom at the end of March this year, and then, you know, as the days kept getting like a little bit longer and brighter, I was like, you know what, I need to be outside. And then we had all the unrest with like the George Floyd murder. And at the time I was like, you know, no one needs to see this white gay guy cook food. Nobody needs to see that right now. So I just kind of took some time off. But now that we're entering back into like the hygge months, I'm going to be starting up again.
Oh, there you go. Breaking news on the Ben Jarofsky Show.
Breaking news on the Ben Jarofsky Show. But it's also weird, too, because it's like they take about like, you know, the time to cook and you got to, you know, prep everything and all that stuff. They take a long time to make. And what's really tricky is I live in a loft apartment and we don't have any doors. So me and my partner is, he is a theater and opera artist and he's a creator and he has been so fortunate to have a lot of work during this time, but it involves a lot of Zoom meetings. So we aren't able to, you know, so it's like, what do I do? So I have to be quiet. Well, you're on the Zoom. And then if I'm doing something, you have to be quiet. So it's a little tricky to that dance of trying to be like, okay, what do you have today? Can I make a video real quick? You got to spare 5 hours. I got to hop in the kitchen. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, what are you going to be cooking next?
Girl, thanks to me. I'm still doing Thanksgiving, even though people think, you know, the turkey is gross, and it kind of is. Found this awesome recipe. I'm going to be doing some turkey, just doing the whole classic Thanksgiving experience.
Do you have a special Thanksgiving turkey recipe that you want to share with the multitudes?
Oh, sure. Well, what I'm going to do is I'll direct everybody to bonappetit.com because it's really good. Hold on. I'm trying to, I got my magazine app now. I don't know if you can even hear it.
Yeah, that's good. It's,
I know,
it's radio.
Look at that. I know. It's like Foley effect. Oh, where is that fire? Ooh, what's going on here? Where the hell is it? Page 76. It's called Expertly Spiced and Glazed Roast Turkey. And it's awesome because what you do is basically you hack up your bird into pieces parts. So, like, you chop off the legs, you chop off the wings. So, you've got, like, the breast is one chunk, and you've got the two legs and the two wings. And you put this spice rib on it that is, like, brown sugar and pink peppercorns and paprika and cumin and garlic powder, onion powder, all this stuff. And you make this rub, and then you rub it on all over the bird, and then you throw it in your refrigerator for 2 days. And it's got to sit there. But because you hacked it up, everything's like absorbing and becoming yummy and delicious and tasty. And then it takes about half the time to cook. So you're not like having to deal watching the bird all day. Then you make this awesome glaze with like soy sauce and red wine vinegar and orange zest and like sage and rosemary. And, you know, you just kind of baby it, give it a little love. And it was the best turkey I've ever made. So that is the only turkey bird I'm ever going to make ever again.
All right.
It's true.
Man, that sounds delicious.
It's really good, Ben Jarofsky.
That is so good.
I'm telling you, go to bonappetit.com, and yeah, it's called Expertly Spiced and Glazed Roast Turkey.
I give you credit for giving them credit. You should have said, yeah, this is something I just created Hell myself no. one day.
No. I ain't stealing stuff. I ain't trying to pass off anything as my own. No. I don't want anybody coming after me.
So the article I began the show with said the CDC is urging people to stay at home. Don't go to big Thanksgiving dinners. Avoid your family. By the way, you know, it's so funny. It's so many people I know come from dysfunctional families where they hate each other. Yeah. And yet America's acting like this is something they don't want to hear.
Right. You know? Look, you don't have to spend it with your weirdo family. That's awesome.
I hear people saying quietly when no one's listening, thank you, pandemic. Oh, thank you, virus.
I've got a lot of friends who are actually just like, what are you talking about? Thanksgiving sucks. It's boring. Yeah. You gotta hang out with your family. Oh my God, I'm so happy that I have a legitimate excuse for not going.
So who's going to be at your Thanksgiving?
Well, we are actually... we're quarantining. We've been quarantining. I scooted out today to get a COVID test. And then I'm going to be tested again next week. I've been such a rule follower. It's not even funny. This entire summer, I have not gone anywhere. The only place that I've ever walked into is either a grocery store and eventually a studio, the station. So I've been like, we've been hanging on the patio. They're masks all the time. We are 6 feet apart. I haven't touched another person except for my partner. You know, it's been we've been following the rules, and we have been working towards this with another couple and their kid, who are also quarantining and getting COVID tests. So we are trying to see if it's possible that we actually can be together on Thanksgiving. So we're just waiting for results. We're being the lines of communication. It's kind of like being in a polyamorous relationship. So I've heard. There's a lot of communication about, like, I did this and I didn't do this, you know, like what we're comfortable with. If anything, like we help them deck out their garage. We turn their garage basically into a winter lodge type of experience. Like, we hung up these globes and their twinkle lights, and there's like a fake fireplace, and we put heaters in there. So plan B is basically to do the entire dinner in the garage with the door open and the windows open and heaters blasting while we're sitting 6 feet apart from each other.
Okay. Thanksgiving in the pandemic.
I know. But you see, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people who are saying, you know, like, we're talking about, like, you don't have to spend time with your family. Like, that's awesome. I've never spent Thanksgiving with my family. Ever since, like, I graduated college and had my first place, I'm like, you know what? Family, I love you. You're great. I will see you at Christmas. But Thanksgiving is like, and of course I'm grateful for you, but Thanksgiving for me is being truly grateful for the people that you choose to have in your life. So ever since I was 22 years old, I announced, family, I love you. You can come to me if you would like, but Thanksgiving is going to be at my house and it's going to be my chosen family. And that's how I've been rolling nigh on these 7 decades later.
Yeah, 7 decades. Yeah. Well, it's been working for you pretty well. You mentioned something, and when you were on a riff, you said comedy, you're not quite sure about comedy in the post-George Floyd era. And I know what you're saying. It was really hard to laugh much in about early June, late May, around there. And I'm obsessively following comics. I'm the kind of guy that does that. I'm always watching comedy on Netflix. I'm just trying to find something that'll make me laugh. But it was a struggle.
Yeah.
Have you emerged from that?
You know, I'm trying. You know, like I said, you know, I've been taking this pandemic really, really seriously. I've got some a pre-existing condition that is not going to be quite conducive with the COVID. I've got lovely blood clots in my leg. So I have not been, I know a couple of the comedy clubs here in Chicago have opened up, and they were awesome. Like, they really took every precaution. Like, Laugh Factory is the one that I know particular, cause it's kind of like my home club. But they, everything went paperless. They reduced seating capacity to 25%. They put up a plexiglass barrier at the front of the stage. Every single comedian had their own mic stand, and stool. Everything was wiped down. Like, it was, they were really, really doing it, but I just didn't feel comfortable going into that. And I'm still having a hard time. Like I said, it's this PTSD stuff. I'm having a hard time finding things that are funny these days. You know, it's just between this year that we had that, you know, the pandemic, and then the perfect storm happened, you know, where, you know, everybody was just eyes on Minneapolis, and then just the anxiety of the pandemic and the election. You know, it's hard. And some people are able to do it. And I've been talking to some of my comic friends who've been like, hey, tell me all about, like, what are people talking about these days, you know, locally here in Chicago? And most of them, like, girl, it's a crapshoot right now. Like, it's either they either got it or they don't. And so, yeah, so I'm slowly trying to build my way back in. But like I said, I think I'm just really trying to be truthful and honest. Like, where am I right now? Just emotionally, like, where am I with and trying to figure everything out intellectually? Like, where are we as a country, and what do I have to say? Because I don't want to go, like, you know, dick joke and murmur and blah. You know, I'm like an old married lady, you know, so I can't even do, like, you know, Tinder, am I right? You know, oh, dating apps, they're the worst. Like, I've never been on a dating app, I don't know about this shit, so yeah. You know. So, yeah, so just trying to figure out what is funny and what do I have to say. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And I was going to say, well, I'm going to help you by making suggestions, but the suggestions I'm about to make are things you've already seen. Because Scotty is ahead of me in a lot of these things. I'm late to, like, the Hannah Gadsby, Douglas thing. I just saw that.
On, so good, right?
Yeah, it was really good. It was very. I love when she does the art critique. That's holy my favorite shit, part of it.
I was so mad at her doing that in that final end. I'm like, how dare you be so brilliant? Like, that was just so fucking funny. It was so great.
Yeah, so that that's something I recommend. And then I don't know if you're a Dave Chappelle fan, but Dave Chappelle's Kennedy Center Awards night, where it's over a year old, and he's just received the Mark Twain Award that goes once a year. I don't think they're going to do it this year because of the pandemic. And so many great comics cross the stage to pay homage to Dave Chappelle, including Sarah Silverman, Jon Stewart, Eddie Murphy. I don't know. I recommend that. That may be. Are you a fan of Dave Chappelle?
I recognize that Dave Chappelle is an important comedian and people really, really like him. I take some umbrage with the way he treats the LGBTQ community. I think he gets it, and I'm all out. I'm here. I can take my lumps. But, and, you know, like, I can take a joke. But I think sometimes it goes a little... It crosses a line.
Well, he confronts that in this special, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. But he confronts that.
But did you see his special after his first appearance after George Floyd?
Yes.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
that's required viewing.
Yeah,
that is. It's not funny, but it's like it is required viewing from
a profound
man who's really like he's so smart. Like, that's the thing. He is really smart. I loved his open when he did Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago. Like, I have respect for him, but there are just sometimes I'm like, you know what? You're not necessarily my cup of tea.
Well, he has a whole riff on this, and I'd love to get your thoughts. That'd be your homework. Your homework assignment is to watch this Dave Chappelle thing.
And all right.
The next time you come on, we'll have a discussion about it. And if you don't like it, feel free to say it. And then Chappelle says that. Hey, if you don't like it.
Great. He's still getting paid.
Yeah, you know? He's still getting
that's paid. That's the thing. Like, all right. Good.
Oh, by the way, Neil Brennan. That's Dave Chappelle's writing partner from The Chappelle Show. Is hilarious on this. He is a very funny guy in his own right, Neil. I don't know if you know him. He's a comedian in his mid-40s who was Dave Chappelle's writing partner. Anyway, Scott, I want to say that one of the things I'm thankful for is Scott Duff. I also want to say that The Reader is starting its own podcast operation. And I'm just putting this out there. Would love if young Scott Duff would bring his talents somehow or other. Maybe talk to Tracy Bain or Karen Hawkins, who are the co-publishers of The Reader. And I know you know them both, and they are big fans of yours.
So maybe you're just like pimping me out right now. It's awesome. On the podcast.
Hey, maybe.
Tracy. Yeah.
Tracy, you listening? Maybe we cut a deal.
Hey, Mr. Ornstein, here I am.
Have a Negro.
Sorry. Just have... but good. Jump right in there.
Yeah, Mr. Gladstone. Have a cup of tea. I always screw up the lyrics. Yeah, story of my life, Scott Duff. I always screw up the lyrics. That's dyslexia.
Screw it up. Yeah, that's right. Dyslexics untie. Dyslexics untie.
Yeah.
Dyslexic untie. Write it out.
It looks Scott like Duff.
I'm explaining a joke.
Happy Thanksgiving in advance. And
Dennis, producer Dennis just got dyslexic untie.
Yes, he's laughing.
I know.
Well, I'm just laughing because Ben doesn't get it at all. And he's just trying to move on. Let's end this.
Write it down. Let's end this shit show. I brought him on to be funny, and now he just was sad.
I don't get it either, by the way.
Yeah, he doesn't know what you're talking about. It wasn't that sad.
No, it was kind of.
Happy at the end.
It was happier at the end. But it was like, you know, yes, how I'm doing. I told you. I'm a truth.
Young Scott Duff.
Which is why I gave Bon Appetit the credit.
Yes, you did. I wouldn't have. No, I would have. I would have. I always say, I'm going to steal this whenever you credit, but I always give people credit. Thank you, Scott Duff. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Ben Jurafsky, and producer Dennis.
Hey, thanks. And hey, if you're listening to this, it's Sunday. It drops at 5 in the morning. If you're up early in the morning, Ben, cover your ears. WCPT 820. Find out Chicago, 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. So there you go.
Wait.
Thank you.
Can I uncover my ears?
Yeah, yeah, you're good. You're good.
I can't. Wait, could you look at the mic again? I can't see or I can't hear you. Say it out and speak it.
Yeah, you can uncover your ears.
Oh, no. we got a million of them, Scott Duff. Comedy like this.
Comedy gold.
All right. Very good. That's Scott Duff. I'm Ben Jurafsky. Take care, everybody.
See you, buddy.
All right. See, hey, no, but I'm trying to get Mitchell to do one of those podcasts.
Really?
Yeah. You remember Mitchell, right?
Mitchell J. Fain?
Yeah.
He's the man. Yeah. I love Mitchell.
Yeah, we're trying to put together one called Zaddies.
Okay.
We have like middle-aged gay men trying to navigate middle-aged gay life.
All right. Well, if you need someone to like lay audio down and put it all together, I got your back.
I do. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too, man.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too. I hope things get a little better, man.
They will get a little bit better. Sorry we got a little heavy, but that's,
That's all right, man. Power through.
You know I am.
All right, buddy. See you soon.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.